Good evening. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "And this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." This is one of the clearest statements in Scripture about the nature of God. John does not merely say God gives light. He says God is light. We know with light it represents purity, truth, holiness, knowledge, righteousness, and life. Darkness represents sin, error, ignorance, corruption, and separation from God. So John points, it's simple but powerful. If God is light, then those who belong to God cannot live comfortably in darkness. We are called as our Creator to walk in the light. As we see Jesus' teachings, we are to let our light shine before men. If our Creator, our Master, is light, then we are called to walk in that light and be light, be the light for many in this dark, dark world. And so we know light is light in His, God is light in His nature. God is perfectly holy. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, "Your eyes are too pure to see evil, and you cannot look on trouble. Who do you look on those? Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they?" We know God doesn't mix with sin. Never has, never will. In all of His ways, He is holy, He is perfect, He is righteous. He is not morally uncertain. In James chapter 1, verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone." God hasn't changed His standard according to culture, emotions, or human opinion since the beginning. His standards have always been the same, and we see His standards in His inspired Word. He has always been the same and will continue to be the same throughout the centuries after us. And we know within God He is the source of truth. In Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, one thing that we know about light, it reveals what is real. We can see what is in front of us. We can see where we are traveling. But with darkness, it hides, confuses, and deceives. I remember Isaac. I've learned not to let kids watch scary movies or play scary games. And one night, he asked me about darkness. And if you stared into darkness long enough, would you see things? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's what darkness does. It plays, it tricks your mind. You think something's there, and it's not. And that's what darkness does. It confuses. It deceives us. The world says, often says, truth is personal, flexible, or changing. Truth itself does not change, but those who handle it change it. They twist it. And those are the ones who belong in darkness, who are in darkness and continue to be in darkness, because we know what truth does. In John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." If God is light, then truth begins with Him. And there is no truth without God. Imagine if there was no God today, we wouldn't know what the truth. One side says it has truth. The other says, no, we have truth. Those in the middle are thinking, well, who has the truth? But thankfully, we do have God, who is Master, who is Creator of all things and all of us. And He has the truth, and we have it right here before us this evening. And so God being light and truth being found in God, He exposes the darkness. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been done by God. Light does not negotiate with truth. It exposes the darkness. It exposes what's in the darkness. Light, when light enters, darkness must flee. The problem is not that God's light is unclear. The problem is that many do not want to live their lives exposed by it. And that's what John here is exposing within this text. Men are lovers of dark. They want to live in that darkness. They love it. They indulge in it. And when the light does come, when their works, their lives are exposed, they hate it. You know, of course, the vampires, you know, you read them in every story. If sunlight hits on them, what happens? They burn. It stings. It can kill. That's how a lot of people feel who want to indulge in darkness. When light exposes, they don't like it. They want it to go away. But we as Christians, we love the light. We love being in the light. We love walking in the light every day. We should. And that means we are walking according to God's truth, not man's lies. And so, man's problem is darkness. John continues in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. If we walk in darkness, we cannot proclaim that we walk with God. Once again, Jesus taught, you cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve both the light and darkness because we are lying. We do not do the truth. Sin places man in darkness. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul being very straightforward with the Romans here. All have sinned. Every one of us have sinned. But thank God that he sent his only Son, the true light, down to this earth to die for us and to raise again, providing for all of us a way to come to the light and to walk in the light, to have salvation. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, the hand of Yahweh is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Sin is not merely a mistake. It is rebellion against the Holy God. Sin is not a mistake. We choose. You know, I remember when I was studying addiction and addiction counseling, all of my professors said that addiction is a disease, not a choice. I was the odd one out. I always said it's a choice, then it turns into a disease. We make that choice to do the first drug, to take our first sip of alcohol. But then, sadly, it does turn into a disease. We must understand we choose to sin, and we will pay the consequences. We choose to sin, and yes, that sin can cost us everything. We know a person cannot walk away from God's light and still claim fellowship with him. It just doesn't happen. Because once again, we know sin separates us from God. We cannot have a relationship with him while we are in sin. Religious claims are not enough as well. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, they profess to know God, but by their works they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and unfit for any good work. A person, and I've heard plenty of people say many spiritual things, but John says our claim must match our walk. If we're going to talk the talk, we must walk the walk. We can't simply just profess with our lips, but then our actions speak differently. We must walk. If we talk the talk, we must walk the walk. Christianity is not merely what a person says. It is also how a person lives. Darkness includes false doctrine and sinful living. Walking in darkness includes moral sin, but it also includes rejecting God. A person walks in darkness when he rejects God's plan of salvation and when he substitutes human tradition for divine authority. And we have many today in our world who teach false doctrine, who are false teachers. They twist and turn God's word to fit their own beliefs, their own desires. My wife and I just got done watching a documentary on something called Glory Veil. It's a cult out in New Zealand. They do teach some things that I agree with, including baptism for remission of sins. They, modesty-wise, absolutely. But some of their other doctrine they have twisted and men have used to do evil things. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Simply just saying, I believe in Jesus, is not enough. There must be obedience. John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Christ was very clear. Believe in me and obey me. Once again, Mark 16, 15 to 16, you're coming from Christ, not man. And so God calls us to walk in the light. John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we are obeying him, then we will have the blood of Christ washing us, washing away our sins. Very clear here. Walking in the light means living by God's truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 10, 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. To walk in the light means to order our lives according to God's revealed word. The very book we have before us. We know what's in it. We should. Do we do it? Do we practice it? Do we walk it? We know what it means to walk in the light. Those who walk in the light are those who believe and obey. They remain faithful every day. It's a daily thing they do. They're in his word. They're having a prayer life. They're going out winning souls. They're going out and walking the walk. We allow scripture to guide our beliefs, our worship, our choices, our speech, our relationships, and our conduct. You know, it's sad that there are plenty of Christians out there who will proclaim to be Christians, will proclaim God as their master, yet they get in relationships they shouldn't be in. Their conduct is all over the place. Their speech is not what it should be. They make the wrong choices. And they worship in vain. Walking in the light requires obedience. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Notice the condition here in John 8, 12. He who follows me. That's a condition that we must do. We must follow him. The person who follows Christ obeys Christ. That means we're not questioning what his word says. I have heard so many Christians question things like modesty. That's a big problem in our society, along with others, of course. But within the church, I can't tell you how many times I've seen not just young Christians, but older Christians wearing things they shouldn't. And the things I always hear from them are, well, it's none of your business. Well, keep your eyes to yourself. And it's sad. I've had professors who have told me who have preached full time, been fired over preaching on immodesty. But it's not just that. There's plenty of things that people will fight tooth and nail and go against Scripture on. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Once again, very clear, the gospel must be obeyed. Walking the light begins when one obeys the gospel. But it doesn't stop once we have obeyed. They also continue as one, lives faithfully before God. But walking in the light does not mean we're sinless. We're not perfect. We need to strive every day. to live up to the standards God has set before us. There's a difference. We're not going to be perfect, but we need to strive for that perfection. That's daily. We must do our best to present ourselves as holy, like our God is holy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Once again, walking in light does not mean we will never stumble. It means we do not choose darkness as our path. We're going to sin, but a true Christian who walks in the light, what are they going to do? They're not going to sit there in pity. They're not going to remain in that sin. They're going to pick themselves back up, run back to God, repent, and keep moving forward. Get back on the narrow path, the narrow way which leads to life. Satan loves to get in your head when you sin. He loves to tell you things like, well, you've ran out of time. You've ran out of God's patience. There's no way he'll forgive you this time. Once again, 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us of all of our sins. As long as there's that true sorrow, godly sorrow, it leads us to repentance. We're good. You know, I think about Israel. We look at the book of Judges and just Israel throughout their time. Look how many times they were back and forth. They played the harlot. They went after idols, and then when bad things happened, they'd return back to God, and guess what he did? Received them back. They repented. He forgave. And it was an ongoing battle. And look at the patience God showed. And he's still showing us patience today by giving us time to repent, to do what's right. Or if you haven't obeyed the gospel, he's giving you time now to obey the gospel. And so there are dangers involved. The danger of claiming light while living in darkness. We can lie about our fellowship. We see that in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. This is serious language. No one fools God. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They lied. They thought they may have fooled everyone else. They didn't fool God. They lost their lives that day for lying. Look at Simon the sorcerer. Now, of course, his sin, he tried to buy. But once again, lying and just sin in general, it cost us everything. It's not just a little white lie. Revelation 21:8, liars are named among murderers, sexually immoral, cowards. They're going to have their part in the lake of fire. Secondly, we find it in verse 8 of 1 John chapter 1. We can deceive ourselves. One of the most dangerous spiritual conditions is self-deception. And we have so many people who have deceived themselves. You think about people who follow these false teachers. And I can understand growing up in false doctrine all your life being taught that. Absolutely, that's a barrier we got to overcome. But if we see the truth, we need to believe it and we need to obey it. Don't continue deceiving yourselves. And that also goes for Christians who think just sitting here on Sunday evening, Sunday mornings, it's good enough. It's not. Just simply hearing the word and not doing it, it's not enough. We can make God a liar. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And let me tell you something. I don't want to make God a liar. No one should. Because we know God doesn't lie. He has kept all of his promises. When a person denies sin, refuses repentance, or rejects God's diagnosis, he is not simply disagreeing with a preacher. He is disagreeing with the one who created us. The one who is holy, who is perfect, who is righteous. When they disagree with his inspired word, they're not disagreeing with me, they're not disagreeing with you. They are disagreeing with God. They make him a liar. Let me tell you, woe to those who do such a thing, because they will have to answer for it on judgment, and no one should want that. God is light, so if we want to be with him, we must obey him. We must walk in that light daily. And if you haven't been walking in that light daily, then something needs to change in your life this evening. If you were a Christian and you have fallen into sin and you've been walking in sin, you need to come forward, you need to repent, and you need to be restored to God this evening. Allow us as the church to help you. But if you're not a Christian, understand you are in darkness and you have been walking in darkness. But thankfully, Christ came and died for you, for all the world, and has given you a way to have salvation. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe it, Mark 16:16. And then you must repent of your sins, which means change of mind, change of life. You're no longer that same person. You're turning back to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. This is not the sinner's prayer, none of that. We're making the confession that Peter did, confessing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that he is the Son of God. But then we must be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15-16, Galatians 3:27. But it doesn't stop there. We have received salvation at that point, but now we must remain faithful. That means we are to walk in the light daily and not walk in darkness. And so if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, I pray and hope that this evening that you give your life to Christ and that you come while we stand and while we sing.